Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chris Alar. I'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chris Alar, who's a Marian father with the Immaculate Conception, and he's written a book called After Suicide. And he's a wealth of knowledge in this area, which is a difficult topic for many. But he shares a lot of great insights about how we can become more aware of suicide and how it's affected society and what hope we can gain through God's mercy.
Yeah, Father's drawing from personal experience within his own family and his own pastoral ministry and his own reflections on suicide. So it'll be a great show.
And we're now going to a reflection with Father Mark.
I'm here in San Francisco, just in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, with the beautiful city of San Francisco, just beyond the bridge, looking through the cables there. And this area is known for big tech. And you know, it's great achievements, technological achievements. It's just staggering, you know, what man has done with this technology and things. It just every year it gets better and better in many ways. But you know, things are not gonna be a perfect world unless our hearts get right. Technology itself can't save us. If my heart is tending towards evil, if I'm corrupted, if there's a wickedness in me, technology outside of me can't save me. You know, Jesus says this in Mark 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within. They defile the man. Technology can't touch that. That's the realm of grace and my free will. We need a transformed heart. That's what he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, not only can you not kill, you can't hate your brother and sister. Not only can you not lust just looking upon or commit adultery, but you can't even look upon with lust in your heart. So he wants to transform our hearts. And he gives us his spirit to do that. Romans 5:5, "For the love of God has been poured into our hearts." You know, Galatians talks about we can call God Father through the spirit that's been given to us. And we have to desire this. We have to want this. We have to ask this. We have to open up our hearts to God to be purified, to be transformed. You know, we have the beautiful sacrament of confession. We can confess the wrong we've done and be given grace to overcome that, to purify our hearts. Adoration, we come before God in adoration, standing before, kneeling before his grace being poured upon us. That purifies our hearts. To purify, we need to come to the Lord. We need to ask, seek, and knock. He's waiting for us.
Father Chris Alar, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you, Brother John. Nice to be here.
And you're with the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and you're based up in Stockbridge.
Yep, at the Shrine, National Shrine of Divine Mercy.
Up there in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So you're active in your ministry, do quite a bit of traveling. Actually, the last time I saw you was over at the EWTN Family Celebration.
Oh, that's right.
Toronto, Canada. So I know you were one of the
beautiful
keynote speakers out
people.
There. So
yeah.
But yeah, welcome to the show. And you've actually written several books here lately, and one of them is After Suicide. And this is actually a book you wrote back in 2019.
Yeah.
And so it's been in circulation for a while, but it's kind of been interesting to read kind of through it and just kind of see where things have changed maybe in society, especially with COVID.
Yes.
You know, because you wrote this book pre-COVID.
That's what's ironic about it was it's now become, I think, more important since COVID. So you're right.
So maybe through the last 6 years or so, What has kind of been the impact of maybe your awareness of the whole suicide situation? How has that changed?
Yeah, and it's bittersweet because while the book has been circulated quite well, I have a lot of people, not just in church locations, but out in the regular secular world, at restaurants, I've had airports, people come up to me saying, thank you for the book. And I think where it really hit home was I went to Ireland just a couple years ago. So it had been 4 or 5 years since the book had been written. And I did a very large talk in Dublin, probably the largest group I've ever spoken to. There's like 10,000, 12,000 people there. And it seemed that almost every person who came to the table had a story of either themselves struggling with depression or a loved one that had taken their own life, children, brothers, sisters, even parents. And it struck me. And that what really was surprising was when I learned that 5 years after writing the book, this book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, was the number one best-selling nonfiction book in all of Ireland. And 5 years after it was written.
Wow.
And that was so surprising because usually a book after a year or two, it runs its cycle. And I really, again, thought how bittersweet this is. Yeah. I'm happy that people are turning to God and that they want to try to understand this. But boy, it's really hard to...
You're also realizing the problem.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's really hard to take that there's such a problem.
Yeah, because it's not necessarily a book you want to write, right. But it's a lot of times a book that's needed for guidance. I think especially for priests, you know, navigating their waters. Because it is, you know, we see a problem, and maybe what are some of the statistics that you've seen with suicide? They're quite alarming.
They are. You and I were talking about this, and I'm so grateful that you're open to discuss such a topic, because it is such a problem, not just with youth. Middle-aged Caucasian males are the most common suicides.
Wow.
Middle-aged Caucasian males. And now I've even learned about a couple priests recently that have taken their lives. But the statistics, as you said, are startling. To me, probably the ones that stand out the most is every year, more people die by suicide than by all the wars or homicides combined.
Yeah.
And we think about that. We think of all the movies where, you know, you turn on the TV and somebody's getting killed by a war or by a homicide. And suicide takes more lives every year than the wars or homicides combined.
Yeah.
Another one, my dad is a Vietnam vet. He flew helicopters and was in Udorn, Thailand, Laos, even though they told him he wasn't supposed to be in Laos, you know, all the being behind the long lines. But anyway, he was also in Da Nang. But the statistics are startling now. More soldiers that served in Vietnam have died by suicide than died through the war, by the war, in the war.
That's a big number.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And you know, you think 58,000 died in the war. That means more than that have taken their own lives now. Mm. And another one, for example, is, you know, the COVID, after COVID hit, calls to the suicide hotlines went up 600%. And they were shocked trying to figure out this. Well, in addition to the isolation that it caused, a lot of the mental health treatments stopped at the hospitals because of fear that they would come in and catch this physical flu-type sickness. And in light of that, they decided to cut off a lot of mental health services, not everywhere, but in a vast majority of places. And that left people who are already feeling isolated now without anything, no support services. And that's why the numbers were also shocking. And I think that's why this book, written just before, you know, it was written in 2019 and COVID came in 2020.
Yeah.
It was almost like the Lord was giving something for a little bit of a help to the people.
Yeah, that's quite, just the timing on that.
Yeah, it's surprising
alone,
in and of itself.
Yeah, it's very surprising. Yeah. What are some of maybe the common factors or causes that lead a person down that road of suicide?
Yeah, and here's another shocking statistic. The number one person at risk for suicide is somebody who has lost a loved one to suicide.
Oh.
That's the number one risk.
Yeah.
Or what they would call a high probability risk, high probability risk. You know, I think of so many people that I've lost in my life, and then I see when they lost by suicide, the real impact, because then the survivors feel like I could have done something.
Yeah.
I should have done something. And we always counsel them, don't please get hung up on the woulda, coulda, shoulda, as I call it in the book. You can't, if somebody-
That guilt factor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really hits home for people. I'll share with you one story in Ireland that was with me at that conference. And a couple came to the table and they told me this story that their young son, not young as in like a teenager, I think he was probably in his early 30s, maybe late 20s, was had a special girlfriend that was like part of the family to the couple. And this young man took his life. And so they kind of adopted her. They were gonna get married and the family kind of adopted her. And then she kept talking about his birthday's coming up. And on his birthday, I'm going to see him. Well, they thought that meant she was going to the graveyard.
Yeah.
So his birthday comes along. She's been talking about, I'm going to see him. They felt horrible that they should have put two and two together, but they didn't. And she went and committed suicide at his grave.
Wow.
And so this family, can you even imagine the difficulties of what they're going through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, how do we get on more of a brighter side on the hope side?
Yes, exactly.
Father Chris, before we actually just get into the hope aspect, what are some of the warning signs that lead a person down the road to suicide?
Yeah, number one is a change in behavior. If you see a person who has a normal pattern, a normal regular behavior, a routine, and all of a sudden they're completely diverting from that routine, that's a huge sign.
Indicator.
Another one is all of a sudden socially they withdraw in every way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have withdrawn because social media, they feel more at home in their own room. But even from social media, if they withdraw from, you know, maybe meeting you out once a month for dinner or a movie, and all of a sudden they stop doing that. Very rarely do they announce that there's a problem to everyone. Some people, they may choose to share that, you know, there's a struggle. This is a cry for help. But the most common is look for a change in regular behavior. And just, you know, the key is ask. People feel that they don't want to bring it up because they might offend the person. Absolutely not. Every professional I talk to in doing this book, and I talk to multiple doctors, PhD psychologists, psychiatrists, they all said, if you sense something, please bring it up to the person because it shows them that you care.
Yeah.
It shows them that you really are interested.
Yeah. And I think too, as I've kind of looked a little bit into this, you know, topic, because I think a lot of times there's a misconception on church teaching that, like,
big time.
If you just kill yourself, that's it.
Yep.
You know, but even, you know, as I've looked, you know, the church has always factored in mental health.
Yes.
You know, that people, for whatever reason, for a just cause or a grave reason, I should say.
You got it.
You know, a lot of times we just don't know. And for a lot of people, it's out of the blue. You know, but the church's response, I think, has always been more pastoral.
It is now, absolutely.
Yeah, especially now.
And thank you for bringing that up, brother, because That's really the reason I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Although this book is for any kind of suffering or loss of a loved one, you know, death through cancer or accident or suicide, even an estranged relationship, any kind of suffering that is caused, this book was written for that. But the storyline that I used throughout was the death of my grandmother. She took her life. It really, this is embarrassing to say, but it's the truth. We didn't mention my grandmother's name and talk about her for 10 years.
Wow.
Because my parents came from old school Catholicism. I mean, I'm old school Catholicism, but they were taught that anybody who takes their life automatically goes to hell.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to talk about grandma. They didn't want to even think about it. It was something they detached from. And then later when I learned what you just said, about God's mercy is greater than even suicide. It blew me away because when I learned it, the priest that kind of guided me pointed out Catechism 2282 and 2283. In a nutshell, what that is what you just said. 2282 talks about there are mitigating circumstances that can reduce the culpability of one taking their own life. Grave fear, anxiety, depression, mental illness. These are things that could mitigate, lower or even eliminate culpability. So the church does look at that. The second is Catechism 2283, which I've basically committed, at least paraphrasing, to memory. And that is, we should not despair of the salvation of someone who has taken their own life. By ways known to God alone, He can provide the opportunity for solitary repentance. Now, I always thought about that. How, sorry to be graphic, but my grandmother, when she pulled the trigger, a lot of people will say suicide is damnation because you've committed murder and you had no time to repent. Basically, she was dead instantly. But that priest that helped me through this said something startling to me. He says, Chris, you don't think, and I wasn't a priest yet. He said, you don't think in the time it takes a bullet to travel 3 inches that God can't come to your grandmother, reveal to her what she's done, and give her a chance to repent. And it just was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
That God, you know, a minute is like a second is like 1,000 years, or a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years are like a day. So for God, my grandma didn't commit suicide 10 years ago when I went to this priest, because she took her life in 1993. In 2003, I had this epiphany. And he pointed to St. Faustina in her diary, where she talks, Jesus said to her that at the last moment, it appears all hope is lost, but yet Christ comes to the soul.
Right.
In paragraph 1486, he says he comes to every soul 3 times. So God can come and give us this opportunity to repent. And the church now even offers funerals for those who have taken their own life. It's in the missal, a funeral for those who have taken their own life. And you know what in it? The collect, it says, forgive them their sins. Now how, if it was instantaneous and they were judged to damnation immediately, like let's suppose somebody takes their own life and they have the funeral the week later, they've already been judged, but yet we pray for the forgiveness of sins because God's outside of time. It's beautiful.
And I just kind of my own opinion, like if you're already on that road to suicide, I think to a certain extent, like your mind, your reason already isn't like in the right place.
Exactly. Nobody, we've always said,
we don't know.
You can't be fully in your right mind if you would take your life.
It goes contrary to human nature.
Yes.
Because, you know, the natural instinct is survival.
Exactly.
Not just,
that's
you
a
know,
great point.
Just calling it quits, you know, because my favorite TV show is on, you know, and that's usually
they cancel
not,
Life on the Rock.
Right,
that's it.
I'm doing. That's usually not what's going on.
Right.
I think there's a heavy, probably a burden that we just don't even know.
Right.
And usually you find out after the fact, I think in most cases. But I think too, just that power of the church, the intercessory aspect of even just having the vigilance and the awareness to really pray for those, you know, and it might not be that a person just goes straight to heaven or straight to hell, but
there's
a time of purification too.
Right, and God offers us that because God, Jesus again told St. Faustina that if you took all the sins ever committed in the history of the world, and you think of the bad ones, and he said you put them all together, they would be just a drop compared to the ocean, which is my mercy. So when you think, add a drop to the ocean, it just disappears. There's nothing. So if you take that drop, that's all our sins, and you throw it into His mercy, it's gone. Yeah. And so even suicide, now we don't want to give the wrong impression that that means, okay, you're struggling with your depression or your anxiety, then it's okay to take your life. No, by no means. Suicide is a permanent response to temporary problems.
Yeah.
You never want to push God's mercy with presumption. And so I teach people that if you are thinking this, this book is not a free ticket. This book is warns you against presumption, that you can't just assume because I do, God's mercy is that great. You may be culpable, only God knows.
Yeah. Well, it's a book of hope.
Yes.
You know, of strengthening, and but really also direction too.
Yeah.
That a lot of times we need to navigate these waters, which are very tricky. But Father Chris,
God bless you for being on
Life on the Rock.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Father Mark, one of the things that really caught me off guard is looking at really the stats on suicide and really the awareness that we ought to have, because it has become, I think, just a big problem in our society today in a way that we often don't even think about sometimes. But just the fact that there's more, that suicide claims the life of more people than all the wars and homicide combined. It is really kind of a shocking number.
In a period of a year.
So that to me is really just, it's a shocking thing.
Yeah, I know it's risen among our young people. It might be the leading cause of death, I think. And so, it is terrible. And I think, he talks about different causes. And I think one thing that harms us a lot too is we're so isolated from one another. We don't connect as much face to face, and you really need that real connection, so to speak. And but also I like his emphasis on mercy, because sometimes we can despair of a loved one that we've known has taken their life, and to realize there's so many factors and so many things that could push somebody to suicide, not to despair of God's mercy towards them. And to reach out, if you see someone struggling with something. I like the point he made about asking questions, hey, what's going on? Are you doing okay? And how that can break them out of isolation and connect with others. We always feel better when we're connected to other people.
Yeah, and he said, just the point of, sometimes he's asking, that it lets the person know that they're cared for, that, that someone loves them. And a lot of times, a person can find themselves in a situation where they feel cut off from them on many degrees, but just really having that, that courage and maybe that charity to really reach out to somebody that's struggling.
Yeah, so if you are struggling, reach out, ask for help, connect with others, connect with God, maybe get professional help just to talk about it, not to try to deal with it yourself. But certainly our connection with God, to experience His presence in our life, His loving kindness, His mercy, that can strengthen us, encourage us in whatever struggles we have to battle. So may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with His Holy Spirit, and that you may know His goodness and His love for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
At him. Formed us from the very dust of earth and called him Adam. There's only one God, don't you forget it. All the stars in the sky, he gets the credit. Wish upon that star, King of kings of who you are. Never lost and never far, can't comprehend. It's so bizarre, but he's our God, we know his name. Trumpet blast, voice proclaim, all transforming, not the same. Turn from sin to where all change, you know that. Look in the past, it's a throwback. From my head with the skull cap, changing the back from the dull rap with a love tap, and it's so sad. Millions of people just go mad, yelling and fighting with no pad, walking around with a bad face like a nomad. There's a problem and we gotta face it.
They always talk in heaven, but they never chase it. You searching for the truth while they go replace it. I'ma start from the basic and say that
I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. You, 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 yeah. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you.